Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. In the house, Greg Robinson. I should say somewhere in there I need to put, and like co-host there somewhere down in there, because Greg always coming in which is good, because Greg's got a lot of knowledge on fishing different conditions, and we got different conditions, don't we?
We do now, for sure. For sure. Went from very clear and a little bit of turnover to a 5 foot rise and lots of debris and a lot of color.
And he means color. it still has a lot of that clarity. The water clarity still has the particles in it. Right. And so talk a little bit about catching crappie. This is a great example. It happens on all these highland reservoirs unless you have a drought. And even when you have a drought, it's going to rain sooner or later when it does.
Eventually,
and you have that. So how do you, like, first of all, what technique do you start? You've changed probably from maybe a shorter rod. You're going to a longer rod.
Yeah, we'll be able to go from our casting rods that we were using to back to our long poles.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that. Drag out the old Black Diamond 16. That's my favorite. And the thing is now is to get this to settle a little bit. Let some of that mud settle, and it should put those fish on the go. Need to be out there where they've been kind of up until this point. They've been kind of holding very, very tight to the cover.
Yep.
But not all of them's going to come off of the cover. You can catch fish, but it's been a kind of a tough bite, and it's really kind of been the last time I was on the water. It was really kind of strange, because if there was more than one fish on that tree, and you caught one, the chances of getting the other one to even look at you was slim.
That's because he watched his partner get ripped up off that tree.
Right. But it didn't matter if you tried downsizing or, larger or smaller bait. I just could never, get that. Usually you can kind of, in the fall of the year, you could even switch to more of a hair jig or something, or a mabu jig, and a smaller jig, and entice that bite. But it was... Last time I was out, it was kind of tough to even get that to happen.
So. Yeah, and they were on the bottom.
Yeah.
Like they were attached to the bottom.
It's almost like lockdown.
Yeah, just I don't know if that was because there wasn't any water or
yeah, the last time something. I fished, which has been now, has been about 3 weeks ago, I guess.
Yeah.
And 3 to 4. And we actually caught more fish in 50 to 70 foot of water, and they were every bit of 25 to 30 foot deep to catch them. And so, which water temperature being at 75 degrees, that was just a little bit awkward and different.
65 now and going down. And this morning was foggy too. So depending on where you live, I think you're going to deal with this situation where the waters come. And it looks like they got rain all the way from Texas all the way up to.
Yeah. Well, all the way see, this time.
To Iowa. So.
You know, and usually when our lake, especially in the fall rains,
right?
It's usually one of our rivers comes up. It's either the White Rivers get in all the water or the War Eagle. This time they both got it.
Yeah.
I mean, they were both hammered. Stayed
at 19 feet.
Yeah.
The rain gauge is at 19 feet for a couple days. And so, that's very unusual for it just to come up and rise so fast.
Yeah,
so.
You couldn't even go over the bridge at the meal.
Yeah.
So
they're going out there. How are they going to catch fish? Let's just say if they're going out in the middle part of the lake or Because all of it, it'll be stained up to.
Yeah,
up
if you get up around some of the stained water, I'm going to say probably, you're probably going to have to at least be Horseshoe Bend
right.
area.
Where it's just stained.
Yeah.
It's not.
But
it's
I just want to say fishable yeah. water is probably uh-huh. up around Horseshoe. And that being said, this could even pull them off of the bottom in the timber to where they could start roaming.
Uh-huh.
And if not, I could see them moving up a little shallower and getting up into that, 12-15 foot range.
And
because it being a little bit yeah. stained with the sunshine we're getting now, that's good and warm. And I would probably, with the conditions that we've had the last 4 days, I would probably even look at some of the slate banks.
Yeah.
Those old slate banks, they warm up good. And I've seen them even in the wintertime and the early, late fall move up dang near on the bank. You know, they'll be in close to deep water and they move back out. But in the day when that sun gets to shining, they get up there and you can catch them, you know, 7-8 foot deep.
Yeah, tell them what a roamer is in case they haven't ever fished for crappie.
Well, the roamer is what we refer to the roamers is the crappie are out in the middle of nowhere. Uh-huh. They're not around, no kind of structure. And they're feeding. They're feeding quite heavily. And if you can find those fish and you get on those fish, usually those will react and respond to your bait rather quickly, especially in the stained water. You get
and
in
they're
the,
usually keepers too, right?
Oh yeah, there'll be yeah. there should be. I mean, I'm kind of pumped up about it. Deer season needs to hurry up, and deer season starting Saturday, and the next 3 weeks needs to move on pretty quick because I'll be ready to get out and try to find some of them. Hopefully by then it's settled down and
it'll be settled down
and it's not. You know, continually rising and yeah. stuff. So
there won't be any left over there.
That's true.
In that direction, because I will have in 3 weeks, I will have wore them out.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
I'm kind of like I said, it's been a while. I mean, I was telling somebody one day this past week, they were kind of questioning of what's going on, because even people spider rigging, they're catching fish, but they're not catching like they normally would. And, you know, I told them, I said, well, basically, the way I could see it, the best I could tell, we've went now, 6 years, 7 years with high water.
Yeah.
And then this past summer, between the drought, and then they started pulling the lake. I mean, we were down to as lowest it's been in a long time, 11-11.
Yeah, 11-11,
13 or 8.
Right in
yeah.
there. Uh-huh.
And, I mean, I can remember many years ago, maybe it getting down to around the 110, but most generally 11-11, 11-12. And I told them, I said, we don't know how to fish that way anymore, because the last 6 or 7 years, and when the lake got up high the last 4, 5, 6 years, I mean, we had to learn to fish again, because we wasn't used to all that high water, especially in the fall and the winter. And then now, so I'm kind of pumped that we got those 11 and a half inches in 2 days. So
what do you use for lures? I know you just touched a little bit about hair jigs, and I know you got some in your pocket probably, but you got a little supply, a little stash of hair jigs, don't you?
Yeah, I've got a pretty good assortment of them.
And who'd you get them from?
Ruben Flores.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I use his product. They're very all hand-tied.
Right.
Very well, and they hold together really well. You can catch numbers of fish on one jig.
Right.
And so they're a good jig.
Does he pour his own jig head?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Pours his own head, puts eyes on them. He does it all, paints them.
Right.
And he's got a good hook.
Is there a size that you like for these roamers? We'll just put it where, in like you're fishing for roamers.
I've got to where I use the eighth pretty much eighth? All the time. Now that we got some color in the water, we can probably do without having to put a sinker above it.
Right.
And go with a quarter.
A split shot.
No split shot. Just go with a quarter ounce head jig. Yeah. And I've got hair jigs that way, and I got Bobby Garland's Moglo's the same way.
Right.
So
what are you putting on? Moglo is a jig head. What are you putting on? What are you putting on that quarter-ounce head?
I like the Hunter, the slab Hunter, really well. It's a 2.5-inch bait, and they'll just knock it good in that stained water. It shows up good. And if I don't use the Hunter, I'm real bad about using the 3-inch slab Slayer.
Uh-huh.
And it does well as well.
Right.
But I'll have a tendency. I'll leave the smaller baits and go to the bigger, bulkier baits. I think they can see it better.
Okay.
And with the brightness, you know, go with bright colors.
What colors?
Or dark colors. I mean, I have...
Maybe black and chartreuse. I got a whole stack of them in my closet.
Yeah, black and chartreuse
dying.
Is good, but in the stained water... I had Ruben custom tie the PBJ in the hair jig, and I've got them up to quarters, and that purple and that brown works real well in clear or stained water.
Right.
And I like it real well.
You're going to have to put it on their nose? And are they going to be that ornery?
In the beginning we might have to, but after that, I think if you get within reason of them and they can see it, as long as they can see it, they're coming.
I think for them to see it, we're still 5 to 6 days.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I'm just saying, by the time I get on the water, I figure they'll be able to see it.
Those Mississippi boys, I've been in different waters and different conditions this past
Junebug.
Year. And they like literally it's muddy like it is right here and they put it on their nose and they if they
almost
don't move
shake it.
they start pulling it up and
you'd
be surprised. It's like, how did that crappie even see that?
Yeah, it's with the color of the water on the slab Slayer and the Hunter, I like the Junebug Pearl Chartreuse real well, Pumpkin Chartreuse, and even some of the it's some of your you'll be surprised what some of the whites do in muddy water. A lot of people over the years, when I was growing up, everybody thought, well, you throw white and clear water in your bright colors. It's almost been the opposite here in the last few years. We catch them on the bright colors in the clear water and use our pearl whites and the pink and whites and black and white, and that sort of thing in the stained water. And
that's what Mitch says. Mitch Pico, he says, man, you got to just throw white and pearl. And I'm like,
And Bobby Garland has a Moglo, white.
It's popular.
Depending on the coloration of the water, it looks different in the water. So I use that a lot too, the Ghost.
When you're pitching, what are you going to be using for a rod? And tell us your line size.
16-foot B&M Black Diamond.
Oh, okay. 3-piece rod?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
16s and 18s.
Yeah. The 18's the one that's got the little weight system on the on the back.
You can get that measurement system on the 16, but I don't.
Yeah.
I do. I just use the rod.
You don't need that because it balances out pretty good. Yeah. So what size line are you using with that big 16-foot rod?
I use 10-pound mono.
Yeah.
Or I'll use 10-pound braid. Either way.
Okay. I thought you hated braid.
I've
Don't say you went back to it. It's a love-hate relationship with you.
Yeah, and I will have to eat a little crow on that statement because mad fishing. I was talking to him a year or so ago and visiting with him. And, of course, he's known for the button and all the
graph cleaner.
Yeah, graph cleaner. And I got some of that from him. And he says, man, you need to try some of my line. I said, man, I seen him at the Grizzly Jig show.
Right.
And so I said, man, if you only knew how I despise braid.
Yeah.
I said, it just tangles up around on the end of your rod. It can be a nuisance. And he said, well, just give me a try. Just give it a try. So I brought some home, and I'm getting to where I like his pretty well. It doesn't.
Is it stiffer? Is that the reason why it doesn't coil?
Yeah,
around?
It doesn't seem to tangle up like the other brands that I've tried in the past. And I used K9's fluorocarbon for a long time, and of course it had braid, and I just couldn't get along with it at all. And so I've been using some of the.
Is it braid all the way down, or are you tying the leader?
No, I do it all the way.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. If you're going to do it all the way.
Yeah.
It ain't going to matter.
No.
Those crappie, they're so keyed in on that jig.
What I can say that with my arm, I have my wrist and stuff. I don't know if it's Arthur or what in there, but if I set the hook, it's like bone hitting bone, and I let go, you know, I want to let go. So, my elbow bothers me a lot. So, with the braid and my 16 footer, I like it because I don't even have to pop them. I just lift up on them, just give them a good little lift, and they're stuck. I mean, I will have to say I like it because of that. And they have it in pink and yellow and green.
All right.
And I can, with me being half blind, colorblind, I can see the pink and the yellow real well.
Yeah.
So I use it a lot.
That takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time, sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures has a complete line of hard and soft baits, so you can check them out. And see what they have. They got everything you need for this muddy water, or if you're going to go out there and go bass fishing or walleye fishing, it's going to start actually picking back up here, especially at this dingy water and those walleye start coming up this way. But check them out at picolures.com. Greg, if they want to find out more about your guide service, get out there and fish for some of these roamers.
Facebook, where would they go? Or at Greg's Guide Service or Greg Robinson, and or 479-601-1683.
There you go. There you have it. Like I always like to say, keep your lures
in the water.
That's right.
Sharp and in the water.
Sharp and in the water. Forgot it's muddy. I just wanted to catch them.